Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone. Good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. I have some great guests, great conversation, and it's so wonderful. I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is for you to go ahead and share this show, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. Now, while you're sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. And I'm pretty sure by now you will recognize her name, her face, and her brand, because she has done the honor of sitting in and co-hosting a show a week with me for the last couple of weeks. And you're going to see her often. So like I said, let me introduce Allison Allman. Good morning, Allison. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I am doing great. Good morning, friends that are watching us live or on the replay. Exciting. It's Monday.
Happy Monday to you. You are the organization maven. What does that mean? And why do you join us every week? Why is it important for you to be here and also share and support the show?
Well, I enjoy helping busy, overwhelmed people by decluttering and organizing their spaces. Even with the summer progressing and people are gearing up for the upcoming school year, they're gearing up to getting their living spaces, you know, more how they want it. I mean, I know back in March, we were kind of thrown into this work from home thing and school from home. And so people just threw things together. And now, with it being a summer break, a lot of people are prepping to get their work from home space how they like it. They're getting the chairs that they like. They're getting the desks that they like. They're getting things that they like, but they don't really know what to do and how to get it set up. So I've been doing quite a few garage conversions where we're converting that into home office spaces. I'm converting it into home gyms. I'm converting it into distance learning workstations for kids to go out there and do chalk and, you know, set up their devices and put desks out. So, so I do this all in Southern California, organizing garages and getting them converted is the best way for me to do social distancing and be more than 6 feet away from my clients. And I just really like it. Garages are really fun. I like to do the transformation. They make wonderful before and after pictures. Lots of neighbors suddenly like me. You know, it just is a great, it's just great for everyone. It's great for me. It's great for everyone. Why I'm on the show every week. A lot of it has to do with the obligations that I have to do every week. And a lot of them I don't like to do. I just don't. I mean, doing a Zoom networking meeting is not the same as seeing the smiley faces and hugging and talking to the people that I like to talk to. So I like coming on to the show, and I wanted to do it every week as sort of like my networking event that I do every week. And I get to pick the time, and I don't have to show up at like 6 a.m. in a, you know, a golf course restaurant or something. You know, I just get to pick my time and I get to have control over it. So, yeah. And then I just, yesterday I realized I hadn't booked all of September. And so I popped on and did all that. And you got all the email alerts about it.
Yes, I did. They came in back to back to back. And I just looked and I smiled. And then we exchanged the conversation on Facebook. But I asked that because I always tell people you definitely want to come back to the Roundtable Talk Show. And I always talk about Allison Allman, the organization maven. She has booked a Monday a week for the next 2 months. And it allows you the opportunity and a platform to sit and discuss your business. But also, I didn't even look at it this way initially, but it is networking. I realized that with some of the connections that I made, to be able to meet 5 new people a day, 25 new guests a week, that's a lot of networking, and it has definitely helped with my business. I've been on a lot of different podcasts, invited to speak on panels, articles, but it's because of the networking that I'm doing here at the Roundtable Talk Show. So I appreciate you for being here. I appreciate you for always sharing the show and for utilizing this as an opportunity. Now, I am going to come back to you, Allison, because I want to introduce you to, and you probably met them before, I'm not sure, some friends of mine who may be able to utilize your services, because they are in real estate and you do an excellent job at staging homes. I want to introduce 2 partners this morning, Corinne Judd and Galen Barnes, who are joining us on the Roundtable Talk Show. Galen Barnes is president of Barnes Real Estate, and Corinne, she does a lot of different things, including helping me and supporting me in all of my endeavors since we met. Good morning, Corinne. Good morning, Galen. How are you ladies doing today?
Good morning. How are you? I'm doing great. I love Mondays.
Happy Monday, Galen.
Yeah, I'm just waking up. I've got my coffee going over here. So happy Monday.
Yes, yes. I first met Corinne a couple of years ago, about 2 years ago, and she's one of the people who was influential for me in going on this journey. She just kept pushing me and pushing me to meet new people, and I'm truly grateful for you. You supported me in my campaign. You're one of the volunteers. You came on a regular basis to help me get the word out. Why was that important for you, Corinne?
Well, I feel like my mission in life is to help people. So the reason it's important is, actually, it's a little selfish. It gives me joy. But, you know, I feel that we all have gifts to give. And the people that come in to, and out of your life, there's a reason. So sometimes you hesitate to say things, or but you should. You should go with your instincts and say them and help people. The other reason it's important is I really didn't know what I wanted to do in life when I was 17, 18. And I read the book that changed my life forever, which was How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I know it's like a old time book, but it's very relevant today. It has a lot of lessons in it. It really started my career. And I was always in sales, or I struggled in the beginning to get into sales, but I felt like sales was the way to help people. So no matter what you're doing in sales, you're basically helping them. So, and you, we just had a connection from the minute we met. And I felt like, you know, there was so much opportunity for you. There was so much inside that I know you had done a lot prior to my meeting you, but there was so much more in store for you. And I just felt that, you know, and it was a nice connection that we made.
Well, I appreciate it. For the people who don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Myself, my background is in corporate to corporate, business to business sales, Fortune 500. I've worked with designers, architects, commercial office space, Prudential, all the casinos in Las Vegas. I work with hotels. So for me, I've been licensed in real estate since the 70s. I wasn't always active in real estate, but I always felt like at some point in my life, I was going to make real estate a full-time business. So I met Galen several years ago, and she was a top producer in my company. And she talked about commercial real estate. And I had already taken a commercial real estate class, but just the way she talked, you know, when she was leaving, I literally grabbed her and I said, Galen, I need to mentor under you. I need to work with you. So the combination of us working together just really felt good. And we've proceeded since then, because she's an expert in real estate, commercial real estate and residential. We do both.
However, you know, my background is in commercial. When I don't know if you wanted me to say when I met you, I think it was important. Our relationship was important because we just connected. And basically, I was trying to investigate and invest in a project you were doing, an entertainment project. And I almost didn't trust it. So it was real close to my home. And I said, I'm just going to drive down there and do it. I'm going to go see what this is all about. And they put you and I together. So I just feel like there's always opportunities coming our way, and we have a choice, you know, take it or don't take it. And
you took it. That's what happened. But you also work with Galen, your partner's not only in business, but I had the honor and the privilege of being on your show this week, and it was midday with Galen and Corinne, and that was a lot of fun, but it was your way of giving back to businesses and talking about businesses. So we're going to let Galen talk a little bit about this endeavor as well as the Barnes Group.
Great. Thank you so much, Sharifa. Yeah, thanks, Corinne. And no, it's such a pleasure to be working with amazing ladies and being a part of this round table. So thank you so much for having me on here. And yeah, we started there, you know, a little bit of history on myself too. I started in residential, gosh, over 18 years ago. But during our last downturn, that's when I decided I always wanted to be work in commercial real estate. And that's when I kind of got myself equipped back then. So I'm seeing a lot of the similarities of what we're experiencing here in this particular eventful type of unprecedented climate we're having. But it's been really interesting and similar in many ways. And so Corinne had the great idea of putting together a show that, well, would we have the opportunity to be able to give back to businesses locally in our community. And I think that as we were reaching out to some of our businesses, we were realizing and we were coming across some of the needs. And that's one thing. I also come from that kind of a background and wanting to serve, wanting to give back, and being a resource right now. It's not so much about what just trying to close the next sale or get, you know, money. And, you know, it's more about how can we be a resource to our friends, family, our local businesses right now that are hurting? What can we do to serve them? What can we do to keep them alive right now? And so we were just kind of trying to hear what they were looking for. We wanted to kind of feature them, promote them, maybe put them on the map of what some of their promotions, things that they're offering, letting people know, hey, we're open for business, you know, and we're here. And just come out and support them. So that was the whole thing behind that. And we're trying to do that once a week and feature a special business every week and let them have their time. So thank you. Thank you so much again for having us.
You are so welcome. Now, you mentioned some of the resources that are available. What are some of the resources that are available to these small businesses that they may not be aware of?
Well, we've been in touch with the chambers, local chambers of that very particular city that we're in. And so from the PPP and the EIDL programs that we're trying to explain and provide them with information about what's the latest with those programs. And it's also, what are the resources the cities are providing? You know, there's a lot of grants that are available right now that sometimes people aren't aware of. What are maybe some of the things that if they're experiencing some issues with just even getting their, you know, their outside dining, Corinne, I know you had connected with a particular restaurant that was having some issues with that. And we helped it facilitate or get more information from the city, just that alone, just helping to facilitate, communicating or putting people together between different types of entities for them. So those are some of the things that we're bringing to the table.
I think that is so beautiful. I think what you both are doing are so beautiful. I love you both. You're so amazing. You're always supporting me, supporting businesses, supporting the community. I think you're just wonderful. And I know that you and I are going to do some great things together. I'll be right back with you, but I want to introduce our next guest. Our next guest has been on the show before everyone today, all of my friends. I get to spend this Monday morning with my friends, but this lady is focused on changing the world. She wants to heal sexism and racism, and she's doing it in her own fiery way. Please welcome Reverend Stephanie Clark. Good morning, Reverend Stephanie. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm doing great. Nice to see you again.
It's always a pleasure to see you. I love your spirit. I love your attitude. I love everything that you've been doing. Tell us about yourself and what you've been up to.
Okay, so you know to stop me when I start going on a bit too long.
I got you.
Okay, I'm going to try and do the potted version. So briefly, my accent is from the UK, if you didn't know that. Born in the UK, immigrated to South Africa, disgusted by the apartheid system, and I started the first multiracial New Thought ministry in South Africa in the year 2000. I had a very successful ministry. It was something that I think people were really waiting for, the chance to for the two races to start to engage together, but in a very loving and safe space. And since that time, when I started my ministry, life just takes me on this journey and I just go with my intuition. So I left South Africa in 2005. I really burnt out on doing church on my own. I started a new career as an English teacher and traveled all over Europe as an English teacher. But what I've really been interested in all my life is sex. And finally, I came back to South Africa and I started giving Sunday sermons on sex and debunking the mythology from the Bible. So I know people are really very burdened by the trauma that the Bible has induced in us as a result of the patriarchal conditioning.
What are some of the things we miss, Reverend Stephanie? Because you said that statement so without a smile, without a smirk, just nice and calm. Like, all I think about is sex. My focus is sex. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Let's go back for a moment. And you mentioned the Bible scripture. What are some of the things that we miss that we can say on a morning show that is so important that you spend a lifetime focusing on it?
I'm not quite sure how to answer the question.
What is it we need to know? Because we have sex, people read the Bible, but your focus is on explaining some of the things that people may not understand. So I'm trying to understand.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you for rephrasing. So why do we not talk about sex? Why is it so stigmatized? Why is it something that we talk about in a furtive or a secretive or a jokey way? It's a very taboo subject. Even now, even though you can watch porn on the internet, you can see women half undressed. What before would have been considered porn is now considered a regular lingerie commercial. So sex is out there, but still people have a lot of trauma related to sex because of conservative religious upbringing. So for women specifically, the whole story with Eve was considered evil. She was considered the one that brought about man's downfall, like his fall from grace was totally about Eve being the wicked temptress and having a beautiful body that he was irresistibly attracted to. He couldn't stop himself. The poor guy was completely irresponsible. But as a result of the Adam and Eve story, women have brought through a lot of shame and guilt around their sexuality. That's just one thing. I could go on for the whole show, but I think I'm going to stop right there. Maybe you have another question.
This Reverend Stephanie, why are you trying to do my job? Let me do my job. I was intrigued. I was learning about Adam and Eve. Okay, that's okay. I'm going to introduce my next guest since you don't want to answer any more of my questions. My next guest, like almost everyone else, you have seen her before. This is her fourth time appearing on the show. She is so amazing. Now, I'm going to do something I don't typically do, but I know it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to introduce her, but then she always takes notes. So I know she has something to say about the other guests that we have here today. So I'm going to introduce the lovely, lovely Belle Walker of Bellevue Consulting. Good morning, Belle. How are you?
Good morning. I am doing very well. Thank you so much for having me today. And I love kicking off my week on this show because I know I'm going to interact with at least one amazing, inspirational lady because you're always hosting, Ms. Sharifa. But days like today are extra special because I'm kicking off my week with 5 additional inspirational women, and it is just a pleasure to be in your company today.
Thank you. And you're a business consultant yourself. You always have the most interesting perspectives. You know, we always talk about how we all have our own unique individual experience, but I'm just watching the show and I'm watching your face and I can see you making points. And I just want to hear, what are some of your thoughts so far about the guest on the panel?
Ooh, this is an excellent question. This should be fun. So I have been inspired in the past by the organizational perspective of bringing, reducing clutter, having an organizational maven as a guest is always lovely. And today I was struck by the emphasis on garage conversions. When I go out running, I've seen more and more garages that are open. People that I talk to are telling me that they're on Zoom from their garage. And so I'm appreciating the specificity of saying garage conversions as a way to sort of help people understand very immediately how those services might be directly relevant to them in today's world, where they feel like they can't let somebody into their homes. But having that garage safe space, I think that's really helpful to have that perspective. And on the real estate side, real estate's not something I know a lot about. And I know that this is a very tough time, especially in commercial real estate, right? The world is changing. We're having a lot of discussions around, will there still be in-person offices? Will there only be remote work? And I have a lot of opinions on this myself, but I think that bringing, looking beyond just the, I'm sure, amazing real estate work that Galen and Corinne are doing, and finding ways to bring additional resources to their community is incredibly inspiring. And so I think the combination there of saying we have a skill set and we want to not only bring what we do, but to find additional resources for our clients who might be struggling is really great to see, and that it's other small businesses and interacting with local government, which I think is so important right now. So that's awesome. And Reverend Reverend Stephanie, it's I have felt the emotional response I had as you were telling that story. I had this moment of Eve and evil, and I'm sure I can go look up the etymology, but just how tied those words are in my brain. It's an incredible, I think, value and service that you're bringing to the entire world around bringing topics of sex and religion up with this straightforward manner that the Ms. Sharif already commented on. I can only imagine how much healing you are bringing to your community, and coming on, you know, speaking publicly like this, how much healing you will bring to the broader world. And so just very inspired. Thank you.
Thank you. That was beautiful. That was wonderful. I just wanted to throw you the ball just to see what you would do with that. I don't know. Bill was like, I can think on my feet. But you brought up 2 interesting points. One I want to go back to is, I would love to hear your views on this whole virtual remote working from home. What do you see as the future?
So I see a hybrid world as the future. I think it will be very difficult to force people who have gotten used to working from home and enjoy it to come into the office anytime soon, especially when there's additional complications. But I also see a lot of people who are really struggling to work remotely. And there's many reasons for that, right? You can start at the personality level, the extroverts who miss having company. And I know quite a few introverts who would rather put up with other people than have the lack of separation between their workspace and their personal space. And then beyond that, I think there's a very, to be blunt, privileged notion that working from home is always a benefit. Right? If you don't have a lot of space, if you have a lot of other people sharing your space at home, you don't have a strong internet connection, your home is not a safe space for you, then trying to work from home is not a benefit. And so to say that only remote work will be allowed in the future, I think makes a lot of assumptions about a workforce that may not be practical. So I think the two of those forces combined, I think we are going to see a reduction in co-located teams, but we're going to see a dramatic increase in fully remote and hybrid teams. And hybrid teams with co-located and remote is something that I find particularly interesting right now as we're starting to reopen, because it's actually more difficult to lead a team that's partially co-located and partially remote than a team that's fully remote. Because when you're fully remote, everyone's on the same footing, give or take. But once you start to bring some people back together, you start to run into things like proximity bias, where as a leader, you're inclined, unconsciously usually, to favor the people that you do see every day. And it takes, and it's for many people, sort of lower stress to just be able to talk to someone in person for 5 minutes versus having to think about reaching out to them remotely. And so some of the work that I've been doing is offering culture alignment workshops for leaders to think about what are the lessons they've learned in this fully remote environment, and how do they wanna carry some of that forward as they move back into either a hybrid or a co-located space to make sure that they're prepared for the future that they see coming for their business.
I think that was deep. What are your thoughts on that, Allison?
Well, I do have noticed that people working from home have kind of lost a little bit of their boundaries between their working 9 to 5 because they need to take care of their kids. And at the same time, sometimes some of their clients are contacting them at midnight and expecting a response right away because they're home. And they're like, no, it's midnight, I'm sleeping, I don't check my alerts, you know, that kind of thing. You know, in some cases, people are starting work at 8 o'clock in the morning because they're able to, you know, give the kids cereal and the TV to entertain them or an iPad. And so then they're able to start work at 8 instead of 9. And then they just feel kind of chained to their office, so to speak, because before they had a half hour commute, and then they, you know, dropped everyone off at daycare, and then they got to work at 9. And then when they left at 5, they had that half hour commute and then picked everyone up and then picked up meals. And they kind of had that buffering time to kind of defrag. And now it's just, they're going from, you know, their kitchen to their living room to their bedroom, and then there's no buffering time or defrag time, and so they just feel like they're at work longer, or they're, you know, there's a lot of lines blurred and a lot of you know, stress, and you know, the kids are coming in every 15 minutes wanting more string cheese and everything like that. Like, the people I'm talking to and interacting with, they are craving to go back to an office, to have that alone time, to have that separation, that to have, I guess, the schedule back in place, so to speak, because they just really enjoyed that time. Like, that's pretty much why they went back to work after they had babies, was to have alone time in the car and listen to whatever they wanted to, and you know, and drink.
You're telling all the parents' secret. That's our parents' secret.
You know, and so, you know, my heart kind of goes out to them, because it's, you know, it's such a weird time in the sense that now they can't tell their boss, hey, I can't start at 9. Well, why can't you start at 9? You're home. You don't have a commute. You don't have to do this. And so now it's like, well, fine, if you don't want to work at 8 o'clock, I'll find someone else to replace you. And then there's all this extra pressure, like, okay, well, I have to start at 8 because my boss wants me to start at 8. And if I don't, they're going to replace me, and then we're not going to have an income, and all this extra stress and everything. So then people are torn. Do they stick to their boundaries and what makes them feel good? Or do they cave in to what their boss wants because their boss just sees the bottom line and work, 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 work? You know, so I don't know. It's a mixed time. I my heart goes out to a lot of people that, you know, are still trying to figure it all out.
Absolutely.
Every day is changing. Every day is changing with the school stuff. Every day is changing, you know, with different things going on. And, you know, and I think a lot of us thought by July we'd be back to normal. Mm-hmm. And here we are in August gearing up, like, I know in our area, we're gearing up for 100% distance learning, and my child's going into junior high. So that's seven classes, that seven different Zooms, seven different interactions, seven different, you know, responsibilities. They said they're going to mimic the school day as close as possible. So, but they're going to put spacings out between each Zoom class. So I'm thinking, if they're in school from 8 to 3, how much is it going to be spaced out so that they have stand-up time or go refresh and get more snacks time? And then those of us parents that are used to working outside, now we have to be home all day. I mean, there's no daycare.
Right. You made a lot of excellent, quite a few excellent points there. I want to go over to Corinne and kind of discuss one of the things that Allison said, and actually Belle said as well. You have been working for yourself for years, not someone who's been going into the office, been affected by COVID-19, been displaced, had to pivot. But I know that all as business owners and entrepreneurs, all of us have paused and pivoted in some form or fashion. What are some of the ways that you had to pivot in your business in order to remain productive during this global quarantine?
Okay, thank you. And thank you, ladies. I feel like everybody is amazing. I have met Allison before. She's just very interesting. And I loved what the other ladies had to say. I just want to mention that. Yes, I have been working from home for a very long time. What's funny is one of the reasons I did work from home is because I wanted to be a better mother to my son. I was a single mother. I needed to take him to soccer, little league, football. And because of the commute, I wouldn't be able to do that unless I worked from home. So that's a little backstory. My employer would not allow me to work from home. So I just, you know, said, I'm going to start my own business. And that's what I did. It was, my initial, and I took notes too, Belle. I'm a note taker just like you. Some of the things that had to happen for me was, first, I did have to create a space, which I was in office furniture. So my space was really made for me. And I always did a two person office. That way, you know, my son was young. My son was only 7, and now he's 32 when I started working from home. But it was difficult during that time. You know, we did have daycare and school. However, I feel like when you work from home, sometimes you do work more hours because your office is always there. So I feel like in order to pivot, you need to treat your garage space, your extra bedroom space, your kitchen table space. You need to treat it as a business, because it is, whether you work for someone else or you work for yourself. That entails having structure, having, you know, if your neighbors come over, you can't talk to them. The postman comes, you only sign for packages and then he's gone. If you're still working and your children are home, I know COVID, our children are home now a lot, and it depends on what age you are, but it was really funny. I have a couple of funny stories. Is my, I would make it a game if I had to go to Office Depot, if I had to go to an office supply store and get office supplies, I'd say, hey, you want to take a bike ride? We're going to go get office supplies. So we did that. I remember too, my son was in the bathtub. It could be very beneficial for your kids from working from home, because my son was in the bathtub and he was, hey, mommy, teach me how to write a business plan. He was 7 years old, but they pick up, you know, what you're talking about, how you're structuring your business. They're also going to pick up, you know, are you taking a break and cleaning the house, or are you really structured? And structure, I feel, is very important and key to any successful business and relationships and boundaries as well.
If you don't mind me jumping in for a second, I'm particularly interested in your perspective as somebody who has worked remotely quite a bit, but is in commercial real estate. What do you see as the future of office space, given that you have both of those perspectives?
Well, it's like Allison said, there are different types of personalities. And I do think there is going to be a hybrid, and there's going to be people who will, you know, thrive working at home. Not everybody has the personality or the structure to work from home. People do like to go into the office for various reasons. And also as a real estate agent, I have an office, you know, I can go into the office, you know, when I can, you know, and get that. So that's a blended type of environment for me. Okay. So I really feel that another man said, another talking point of Allison's, another man said, well, he was so happy that this happened to COVID. He's the employer now. Okay. And his people were working from home. And he just realized they did such a great job from working from home. He's going to go national now, you know, but it is a, everybody, your points and Allison's points, and I'm sure the other ladies who are going to speak, every point is valid. As far as the commercial aspect, and we do, you know, I help residential, we help residential people too, especially I love working with first-time home buyers because it gives you joy to really see them accomplish. And believe me, Kaylin and I work as if they were our own children. So we both have the same mentality on that, but not veering off too much.
Corinne, before we go on, I do want to cut you off, but I wanted Galen's take on Belle's question as well.
Go ahead. Yes.
Did you finish your response on commercial real estate? Because I didn't want to go to a different topic.
Yeah. No, all I was going to say as far as the office space is these spaces will be reconfigured and they will turn into something else. There are people we're working with that they, as long as the city approves it, they will turn into other types of spaces. Galen does have a lot more backstory to that because she's seen this happen before. So I'm done.
Thank you for your answer. Didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, that's all right.
Galen.
Okay, great. Yeah, no, thanks, Sharifa. So in comments to Belle, thank you for bringing that up because that's exactly kind of what we're working with too right now with repositioning buildings. You know, many of these buildings right now are coming across at like 50% vacancy. And we are trying to really work with companies at corporate level, small mom and pop level, in order to restructure, repurpose, and maybe figure out how can we transition these empty office buildings now into something more effective for what is going on in our climate. So you're very true about what people, I love that idea that it's gonna be that hybrid going on out there because I already see that happening. And back in 08, when we were trying to work with empty space, what happened back then was we turned a lot of these spaces into executive suites. So we carve out small office spaces. As long as I think the twist will be this time around is what I already see executive suites starting to carve out of large spaces of those empty spaces is that we got to show that we are CDC like compliant, that we can make these tenants feel that it's meeting up to those requirements. If they feel safe, once that vaccine also comes into play, I think if they feel safe, they can be in their one room, lock that door, and the air conditioning system maybe is got that ultraviolet, got all the bells and whistles, and you are in a special, you know, sanitized area, I think that more people start coming back into that office space. But like right now, like Corinne was saying, all our offices are open. However, I even feel honestly a little tentative about going back into that office. We've seen some cases of COVID hitting some of our offices. And I'm just thinking, I don't know how that filtering system's working over there. I don't know that I want to go back in there and sit there 24 hours. We used to work, you know, out there in those offices, but now I really feel like Zoom is my best friend. I can conduct all business through my Zoom all day long and be as safe as I can. So that's just what I see happening a little bit right now.
And you say safety quite a bit, and it's sort of reminding me that there's so many different types of safety. And I'm actually curious if Reverend Steph has any sort of thoughts on working remotely, working in these hybrid environments. Is there an element of the work that you do around the sex and the tensions between the sexes, around racism? How does that factor in? Are there things the rest of us should be aware of when we're guiding our own clients in approaching these new interactive modes?
Well, what an interesting question. No one's ever asked me that before.
I'm about to put you on the spot.
You gotta love Bill.
I'm totally on the spot. I was so ready to talk about my experience of working from home and my experience of working in an office.
Share your experience, Reverend Stephanie.
On me?
I said, we're dying to hear your experience.
So I'd rather share my experience and the answer to your question, honestly, because I haven't thought it through. I have worked from home for a long, long time. So not really so aware anymore of sexual or racial dynamics in the workplace. And I've set it up that way. I've chosen it that way. I did work in an office in England, but most of the time I was traveling to Europe to do my marketing work. And my boss noticed that when I was in the office, I got less done than when I was overseas working. And he eventually had the whole marketing team start working from home so that I could produce, because I was the top producer. And working from home was, for me, it turned out to be a delight. But as it was Corinne, you said about the structure, and that was a struggle for me to create structure in my day. And I can tend to be workaholic and just keep working to try and get the job done rather than having a clear notion of, you know, starting at 9 and ending at 5:30. Now I moved to America right before lockdown in South Africa. I was living in South Africa, taking care of my mom and working from home there. I write books and I coach, so it's easy for me to work on an online platform. So I came here to Oregon to be with my husband, and he's going out to work. He has works in insurance, and the office is such that everyone can shut their door. They don't take any more walk-in clients, and everyone has to make an appointment, and then they clean the offices every time the offices are regularly cleaned and sanitized. So he's in a safe working environment, and I've just been here at home and have the freedom to do my thing and whatever I need to do to move my business forward. So I'm right now not really so focused on the outer world. My work is very inner. I'm designing a program to help women with sexual wounding, and it's very deep, sensitive inner work. And that's my world that I live in. Not that I want to shut myself off from the outer, but the focus on the inner is what takes my time and attention. So that wasn't an answer to your question, Belle. Sorry, I couldn't do it.
No, but I want to rephrase Belle's question, because I was kind of interested in the response. One of the things that I noticed and I don't like about being in the workforce is I'm not that woman that is like weighs about 90 pounds, right? I'm a full-figured woman. And when I'm in the office, men tend to notice me, right, for whatever reason. And I've had Me Too experiences. I've had experiences where I wouldn't put it as far as to say this guy needs to be in the Me Too movement, but there have been subtle things that I feel, and subtle jokes that aren't necessarily appropriate for the workplace. Another thing that Corinne mentioned was the whole aspect of boundaries. We can obviously set boundaries at home that we may not necessarily be able to set in the workplace. So I think what Belle was asking is, do you see, as far as the hybrid and people working from home, more of, because you talked about the sexual aspect, but isn't that about empowering women? Do you see more of ability for women to be empowered in this new structure as opposed to the way it's been?
Okay, thank you for rephrasing it. I do. In terms of just being in charge, being in control of the workspace, choosing hours, choosing what I focus on, and not having to deal with sexual harassment in the workplace. And the people that, when I was working, that I was the only woman on the team. And the men would laugh at me for being so conscientious. I worked for an English language company and I was really on it about full stops and commas. They're like, but it was an English language company. I mean, you can't like make mistakes. So the guys were like, let's do things in a surface way. And I was always about doing things in a deep and conscientious way. And they ridiculed me. And they also talked a lot about football in the office, which like I had no interest in, but it was really distracting. And I can't call that sexual harassment because it's not. It's the dynamic between men and women that doesn't work for productivity in the workplace. And typically, of course, the men are the bosses, the women are the workers, the underlings. So I think for women to be able to work from home and discover their own power to produce and contribute, I think is a wonderful thing without those distractions or unnecessary input or not unhelpful input from men around them in the workplace.
I think there's been a real advantage to the fully remote workforce because from the leadership perspective, it has, I think, required some of the best practices that are often overlooked because they require effort, right? So having clear metrics and expectations for productivity, because you can't rely on that sort of butts in seats feel of, oh, well, Sharifa was in the office before I got here and after I left, so she must be, you know, really effective. You have to look beyond that and say, well, what did I really want to see from those hours, right? It's the deliverable rather than the hours. And this is something I deal with my clients quite a bit. I personally get frustrated when someone tells me that they have a metric around time and hours. And, you know, my first question is always why, right? What is it that you want them to be accomplishing with mm-hmm. that time? And I think that's something that the remote work has really forced into a lot of conversations. Great to see. So one of my sort of secret goals is to help leaders make sure that they keep that what versus how long perspective as we start having some of that in-person ability again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Galen, I know you lead a large team. Have you incorporated any of that what as opposed to how long into your leadership style? Okay, so we have Galen muted.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that, guys. Okay, so I was going to say back when the pandemic started, I think first couple of weeks, we were just kind of off. It was kind of that numbing, like shock. We were just kind of getting used to that. But I realized as everyone's talking about structure, it was something that I started to get my team on board with. It's like, we need to get back to what we were doing back then. Just even how you got out of bed. What did you do the moment you roll out of bed? What is your routine? We need to get back on to that time. We're getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30, 6 o'clock, whatever that time was, we needed to get back to that structure. And so it was that mindset, right? It's also making sure that everyone is on track. We've got a set schedule. We got our Zoom meetings and schedule. We got everybody just getting back into that energy level and being active. I think that if getting that momentum going was so important, because I think people feel like, okay, this is happening to me. You can't let stuff happen to you. We need to bed, get off that couch, get stuff, getting back to work, but we have to adapt and like that pivot, that shift, whatever we had to do. We had to restructure ourselves and really think this is the time to really set our systems in place and really think strategically and differently. So.
Yes, absolutely. She came back as Galen said, get off that couch. I think that was the message, the theme for today's show. No matter what, get off that couch. Allison, I'm talking to you. Get off that couch, Allison. No, I'm just kidding. But I wanted to make sure that I had enough time to incorporate this aspect into the show, because something that Belle said that was gold and key that about the garage conversion. And we talk about this on previous shows, is that wasn't just by accident or by happenstance. You made a strategic decision for your business to refocus on garage conversion. Tell us a little bit about that, please, Allison.
Oh, well, I just noticed that that people were home and that they hated the clutter in their house or in their garage. And so I, when I was, this is probably about 2 months ago, I was really working hard on my SEO and my marketing. And I noticed that there just wasn't any garage organizers. There's a lot of focus on closets and kitchen drawers and pantries and kids' rooms and toys and all those keywords. When you would type it up, a million organizers would pop up. But when you did garage organization, the only thing that would come up in the Google search is those garage makeover companies that, you know, do epoxy flooring or do the safe racks or the cabinet installation people. All of those type in companies came up, but no organizers came up. So I really turned over all of my SEO marketing and all of a lot of my hashtags to include garage organization, garage organizing, so that when you Googled garage organization, I would come up in the top, you know, five or at least the first page. So I really started, once I started using the hashtag more, I noticed that a lot of people were then at the same time on Pinterest and other platforms like Houzz, looking to convert their garage to be living spaces. Mm-hmm. So I just capitalized on that by just kind of hopping on those platforms and showcasing that I was available for that service. Is that what you're asking?
That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You have to capitalize on it. Whatever is working, that perfect storm, you just have to go with it. I think that's wonderful. I think that is amazing. What you do is amazing. And I'm sure in this time frame, you have more and more people who maybe they're turning their garage into their home office. People are looking for other ways to find space because they are now working remotely. And I know you can definitely be a benefit to them. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and really just let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. And we're going to start with you, Galen.
You're muted.
We got to get
yes, I'm always So thank you again, Sharifa, for such a wonderful opportunity to be here at your roundtable. It's such a privilege to be here with such amazing ladies and so much talent here. And just again, to be a resource to businesses right now that need some help, please just reach out to us. If you need help, don't be discouraged. Don't be feeling ashamed of that. Maybe I know many times many entrepreneurs, business owners have that pride in their business, that it's the time to be able to reach out. We can connect you with the right people. We can connect you with the right resources. And just make sure that we are, again, our end goal is to keep you guys in business and keep our economic, economy here alive, our state alive. We want everyone to thrive during this time and shift, adapt, be successful, especially during this time that we're all going in an uphill. We're all in this together, going up in that same direction. So I thank you again for having me here.
You are welcome. Thank you for being here. Kareem, what do you have for us?
Oh, I knew I was going to be second. Thank you. I just want to say these ladies are amazing. It's nice to make your acquaintance, and I've really enjoyed the show, and it is a privilege and an honor to be here sharing our thoughts, and thank you for the voice. What I want to say is there are people struggling, whether, you're building a home office, you're in business, you have brick and mortar, your children. My whole thing is never give up. You know, everybody has a backstory, everybody struggles. And if you don't give up, look, struggle during the day, find your way, but go to bed and tomorrow's a brand new day. You know, there may be, as long as you have a positive attitude or a hopeful attitude, there may be someone coming into your life the next day that you can align with that will help you grow, help you find a solution, help you find a structure, help you find peace. And then the other thing is, if we focus on others, how we can help others, your road will build where it's supposed to be. And it'll take the struggle off of yourself. So by helping others, for instance, a restaurant. Okay, how do I help others? How do I create an outside patio? How do I contend with the CDCs? That's business. You know, someone, an individual in a home, you know, how do I get my working space? Do I convert my garage? Is Allison going to help me? Do I convert a little space in my home? You know, children, what can you do to uplift them? It is a hard time for them. You know, mine's grown, but my heart goes out to the people with little children, mid-aged children. And I'm just saying, don't give up and find ways and align yourself with positive people. That's what I got.
Oh, gotta love you. Just definitely love you. Thank you for being here today. Reverend Stephanie.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for being here, everybody. And thank you, Sharifa, for having me on the show again. So what I love about your show, Sharifa, is the pure randomness of it all and how people come together from all walks of life completely unpredictably. And for you, I would just want to acknowledge you for how you hold a conversation. You're a master at holding the space for everybody to share their stuff and to shine and to create harmony in a group of complete strangers. So all kudos to you for what you do and who you are.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what I want to just share with people is that I'm available for coaching and counseling. If you've got issues with sexual shaming and damage from your childhood and you would really love to be in a healthy, intimate relationship with a partner, I'm your woman. So my website is www.timelesstransitions.net, timelesstransitions.net. And please sign up for a free Skype session and we can explore if we can work together. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Thank you. I really appreciate you. And let me go over to Allison.
Well, Sharifa, it was a joy again to be on the show. I look forward to it every week. So I'll see everyone next week. I really, the best way to get in contact with me is through social media. I'm known as the Organization Maven. Pretty much any platform that you put in the search field, the Organization Maven, I come up. Or just Google me. I do have a website. It's AllisonAlmond.com. I want to help more people set their boundaries and get their house organized and get ready for the next couple of months ahead of us. You know, if you didn't know, people have been Googling the holidays since June. They've been pinning different Christmas already people are picking out their Halloween costumes before 4th of July even hit. So as a result, people need to be organized. They need to know where their costumes are. Or they're going to make something unique. Who knows? Something apocalyptic probably. But, I think a lot of it just people are just still overwhelmed and they're just home all the time and they need someone like me to come in and take care of it.
Absolutely. And I definitely recommend you. You do an amazing job. So thank you for everything you do, as well as thank you for being here today. And Belle, what do you have for us?
Well, I certainly want to reiterate the joy and inspiration of sharing this platform with all these wonderful women today. And I also reiterate the skill and mastery with which you keep these conversations going across such diverse backgrounds and topics. It's really amazing.
Thank you.
And for myself, I want to make sure that your audience knows that I am offering these cultural alignment workshops. They're really targeted towards small business leaders or organization leaders who are realizing that the transitions over the last several months, working from home, potentially coming back into the office, going back remote, all of these different modes have either introduced pain or have highlighted rifts in the organization and cultural misalignments in terms of communication expectations or some of these metrics. Or leaders who are saying, you know what, I learned something really fabulous that I want to make sure I don't lose. And so whether you are trying to prepare for the future by addressing pain or capturing joy, now is a great time to take a few hours and just make sure you've got that clearly articulated. I'm here to help with that. So BellevueConsulting.com bellevieconsulting.com, bellevieconsulting.com. You can reach me through LinkedIn or through the contact information on the website to learn more about the cultural alignment workshops. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to start my week.
I'm excited as well. I love the energy of a Monday. Like, people always talk about the days. It's like, I do not like the energy of a Sunday. Like, it's too slow. I can't talk business. People want to just relax. And I'm like, no, let's get to Monday. So I wake up Monday morning. I did my weekly newsletter at about 5 a.m. because I was up. I was excited. I had over 200 responses to my latest post to be guests on a roundtable talk show. So if any of you amazing women want to come back, I recommend that you go to AskSharifah.com today and schedule your next appearance, because we're going to be booked out for months, and I definitely love to have you back. So I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. I truly appreciate your support, but don't just watch the show. Don't just support the show. Please go ahead and share the show, because your friends need this information as well. We discussed so many different things today. Our guests have provided you with tips, strategies, resources, information. So be a good friend. Go ahead and share the show. Visit our guests' websites, follow them on social media. And when you contact them, when you call them, when you send them a message, please let them know Sharifah Hardy says hi. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at AskSharifah.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifah has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifah.com.